Now, it's nice to be with you tonight in Kennaway for the preaching of the gospel. We do trust that God will bless you for coming and bless our time together around the Word of God. Now, I want to read just a few passages from the Bible this evening, and the first of them is in Romans chapter number 1, the epistle to the Romans, and chapter number 1. I'm going to read from verse number 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, verse 3, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Down further in the chapter, please, to verse number 15. So as much as is in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. The next book in our Bible, please, 1 Corinthians and chapter number 15. The first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians. And chapter 15. And we'll read at verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. Verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And finally, please, in Mark's Gospel and in chapter number 1. The Gospel according to Mark and chapter number 1. Verse number 14. Now after that John the Baptist was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. And we do look to the Lord tonight for his blessing to be upon us and to be upon the reading of his good word this evening. Now, you've come to a gospel meeting tonight, and I thought, seeing that was the case, that it would do as well if we considered a little about the message of the gospel. And if you've been following the readings that we've read to you this evening, you will readily notice and immediately link the passages in that the gospel message is mentioned in every one of the passages that we have read this evening. The gospel is a word that you don't just hear about in churches or in gospel halls. It is a word that sometimes is spoken about in the world outside. It was only a few weeks ago, somebody telling me a story in the day-to-day business of work. And as he told me this story, he interrupted it and he said, now look, he says, what I'm telling you is gospel. It's gospel. In other words, what he meant by the word gospel was, this was to be relied upon. What he was telling me about this story wasn't just hearsay, wasn't something he had dreamed up. This was something he says, you can rely upon it. He says, it's gospel. It's gospel. Another man was recounting a story to me of difficulties within his family. And as he was telling me about the difficulties that they were passing through and about the resolution that came about these problems, this is what he said. He wasn't a Christian. I don't even know whether he attended a church or not. But this is what he said. He says, do you know, it was like the gospel. It was like gospel to me. What he meant by this was, the news that he got and the problem being solved was good news. It was good news. If you're in the meeting tonight, and you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you know in that heart of yours, you cannot look back to a moment in your life when you trusted him. And you believed on him, and you lent your all upon him. I want to tell you tonight, you could be in no better place than a gospel meeting. Because if I could use just those two things spoken by those friends of mine about the gospel, the first thing I want to tell you about is this. The gospel is the most reliable message that you could ever hear. You can trust it. You can rely upon it. You can lean upon it. Did you find the reading, or did you listen to the reading in Romans chapter number 1? It is the gospel of God. Gospel of God. It's not our gospel. It's not the world's gospel. It is the gospel of God. Dear friend, tonight in the meeting, we're delighted to see you. And we trust that God will bless you. I want to tell you, the gospel is something that can be relied upon. Ah, but not only that, the gospel is something that communicates good news. Good news. And if ever there was a day that we needed good news, then it's today. And tomorrow morning again, we will wake up and no doubt there will be the news of some crisis or some catastrophe. Something else to dampen the spirit. Something else to cause sadness in the lives of men and women and boys and girls. And so I'm glad you're here tonight, because we've got good news in the gospel. It is a message that will tell you not only how to be right with God in your life, but it's a message that, if believed and accepted, will change your destiny for eternity. What a message the gospel is. You could have come into this meeting tonight not saved. You could leave it tonight and know Christ as your Savior, and know heaven as your home at the end of that life, and know, as far as you're concerned, that the matter of the judgment of God you will never face, because you have trusted Christ as your Savior. I tell you this, if that's not good news in the day and age in which we live, I don't know what is. Four passages that speak about the gospel. I want to just put a word across each of them, just maybe so you'll remember, or so you'll maybe pick it up as we go along. I want to speak in Romans chapter 1, in those early verses that we read, I want to speak about the person of the gospel. It is the gospel of God concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So there's the person of the gospel. I don't want to bore you tonight about speaking about me. I don't want to bore you tonight or waste your time in speaking to you about anyone else. When we come to speak about the gospel, there is only one person that's at the center of our vision tonight, that's at the center of this message, and it's the person of God's Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. The person of the gospel. When we come to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, I want you to think about the principles of the gospel. Paul will tell us in that passage about the principles of the gospel that he preached at Corinth all those years ago. And it might surprise you tonight that it's exactly the same principles that we preach tonight. It's never changed, you see. The gospel has never changed. And when we come back to Romans chapter 1, in the second verses that we read further on down the chapter, it's not the person of the gospel, and it's not the principles of the gospel, but Paul speaks about the power of the gospel. The power of the gospel. And I want to speak to you about that for a little while tonight, towards the end of our meeting. And then in Mark chapter 1, I want you to think about the plea of the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. Oh, there's an appeal in this meeting tonight. I'm not interested in an appeal that has people coming up to the front or raising their hand or writing their name on a bit of paper or anything like that. That's not the kind of appeal I'm thinking about. But there is an appeal in the gospel. In this meeting tonight, decisions will be made. In this meeting tonight, if you're not saved, you will have to make a decision about the gospel and about the Lord Jesus. Because the gospel has an appeal. It will draw people to a decision, to a conclusion about the matter. And we desire tonight that your conclusion might be to take Christ as your Savior and as your Lord. Now, we have 20 minutes and no more. I assure you of that. And I want to just touch some of these truths in relation to the gospel in the meeting this evening. the person of the gospel. I don't think I would meet any opposition in the hall tonight if I had to say to you that I don't think we have ever lived in a day when our lives were dominated by celebrities and politicians and royalty like it is in the day and age in which we live. They completely dominate the focus of men and women and boys and girls. And some of them might be influences for good, but sad to say, many of them are very poor influences upon society and upon our young people and upon our children. The world of the pop star and the world of the sporting celebrity. And so often they are put up as role models in the world in which we live. And so often we are encouraged to look to them, to look to them. Well, tonight in this meeting, I want you to take your eye off every celebrity and every politician and every member of royalty. And I want you to fix your eye solely and wholly upon the person of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Because it is the gospel of God concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's all about his Son, his Son. You might be in the meeting tonight and you might be thinking to yourself and you're saying, but is Christianity not about living a life? Well, that will come later. But this point of Christianity that we're at tonight, it's all about his Son. His Son. Someone said, is salvation not about doing the best I can and turning over a new leaf in my life? No, no. This business of Christianity is all to do with God's Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I want to ask you tonight in the meeting, do you know him? Do you know him? Well, I'm not asking you, do you know about him? If you've been to the gospel meeting before, or maybe you've been brought up through the Sunday school, you maybe know about him. And you perhaps could recall some of the stories about the life of the Lord Jesus. That's no bad thing. It's good to know about him. But I want to ask you tonight, do you know him? What do you mean, says someone? Do you know him as your Savior and your Lord? I could take you back to a moment on the 7th of October 1970, at the age of 7, when I trusted the Lord Jesus as my Savior. And if you had to say to me tonight, do you know him? I'd say, I do know him. And I'll tell you when I came to know him as my own and my personal Savior. And there's others in the hall tonight. And if we ask them, do you know him? They would say to you, I know him. And I'll tell you when I got to know him. But there might be someone in this hall tonight and you don't know him. You've never trusted him. You've never believed on him. Maybe some of the children here tonight, and you know you should trust him. And you know that he loved you, and you know that he died on the cross for you. But you've never trusted him. I want to say tonight, he waits for your answer this evening. It is the gospel of God concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Someone might pose a question tonight and say, why is it all about him? Why is every gospel meeting about the Lord Jesus? Well, I'm going to give you three good reasons why every gospel meeting should be about the Lord Jesus. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25, he is able to save. He is able to save. Not the church. Not the believers. Not your way of life. He and he alone is able to save. There is not a man, woman, boy or girl that has started on the road to heaven but would say anything else to you that it's him and him alone that saves, the person of the Lord Jesus. But there's another reason why we preach him, and it's found in Jude verse 24. He is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. You see, we're preaching a Savior tonight who is not only able to save, but we're preaching a Savior tonight who is able to keep, who is able to keep you from falling. Let me tell you this, there is not a Christian, that would have lasted 5 minutes on the road were it not for his keeping power, his sustaining power. And we praise God tonight we have a Saviour that not only saves us, we have a Saviour that keeps us day by day. And no matter what will come our way, he will land us in heaven at the end of life's journey, or when he comes to take us to be with himself. We're preaching to you a Saviour tonight who's able to keep. Ah, but Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3, "Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or even think, he's able to save, and he's able to keep, and he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think." I want to say to you tonight, I want to ask you, do you not think that such a person is worth getting to know? Do you not think such a Saviour is worth putting your trust in? This is God's Son. This is the Lord Jesus. This is the one who died for you at the place called Calvary. And tonight the gospel that is going out to your soul, that is going out to your heart tonight, it's all about the person of the Lord Jesus, God's only Son, the person of the gospel. I want to come very briefly to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. And I want to speak to you for a second about the principles of the gospel. What is the gospel all about? It focuses in his Son, but what is the truths concerning the gospel? Well, Paul goes to the city of Corinth. And the city of Corinth was the kind of city that if you lived in Corinth, you would have been rather proud of it, you know. And it was the place to be. It was famed for its learning, for its wisdom. They really thought they were something in Corinth, you see. They had it all at their fingertips. They knew it all. And that's why as you read through this first epistle to the Corinthians, and as Paul speaks to them about certain matters that they had failed in, these believers, with a touch of irony, over and over again, Paul says, "What know ye not? What know ye not? You Corinthians that should have known all of this, you don't know these things?" So he's coming to a place where there was great intellect, there was great wisdom, there was great learning. What is he going to bring before them? What is he going to preach to them at Corinth? Is he going to try and impress them with his learning? Is he going to try and impress them with the position that he held in this world before he became a Christian? No, there's none of that with Paul. Paul says, "Here's what I came and preached unto you at Corinth." He says, "Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And he was buried. And he was raised the third day according to the scriptures." I don't know whether the Corinthians asked it, but maybe there is someone in the meeting tonight, and maybe in your heart you're saying, "Is that it? Is that it? Is this the message of the gospel? Is this the thing that God wants us to know and to learn?" That's it. That's it in a nutshell tonight. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and was buried, and was raised again the third day according to the scriptures. The principles of the gospel. In the first of these principles of the gospel, you've got the reason for the death of Christ. Christ died for our sins. In the second of the statements, you've got the reality of the death of Christ and was buried. In the third statement that he delivered unto them, you've got the response to the death of Christ and was raised again the third day according to the scriptures. The reason for the death of Christ: Christ died for our sins. You see, dear friend, tonight, it is a word that is hardly mentioned in the world today. It's a word that is hardly mentioned in society, the word sin. We have found a load of different words to substitute for it. And to try and get away from the fact that the word sin highlights our failure and highlights our shortcomings before God. Well, I might do not so bad living to my standard. And you might do rather well living to your standard. But the point is, how do we measure up according to God's standard? Says the apostle in Romans chapter 3, there is no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The standard of God, there is not a man, woman, boy or girl in this hall tonight that has come up to the standard of God. That's sin. That's sin. Sin is an awful thing. An awful thing. But the problem with you and I is that we judge sin according to our standard. And I don't know, but tomorrow in the news, there might be news that tells us of something absolutely awful that has happened in the world. You think of murders. You think of things that come across our gaze in relation to the news that perhaps we would rather not hear about at all, the wickedness and the evil of the heart of men. And quite readily we might be able to say, that's sin. That's sin. But you see, there's a God in heaven tonight. And when that wrong thought passes through my mind, or where even there might be a temptation for me to tell a lie, the God of heaven in all his holiness, he says, that's sin. That's sin. There might be those in the world tonight who would say, but really, is that such a big deal? When we take everything into consideration and all the evil that's around us, is that such a big deal? And the problem is, you see, that we measure ourselves against our own standards. But what about God's standard? Absolute holiness. That sin of yours, that sin of mine is enough to banish us eternally from God and land us in hell and in the lake of fire. Said the Lord Jesus when he was here upon earth, and he spoke to men and women one day, and he said, I go my way, but ye shall die in your sins, and whither I go, you cannot come. Said the prophet Isaiah, as he speaks to the people as the mouthpiece of God in chapter 55, he says, your sins have separated between you and your God, and your iniquities have come up before him so that he will not hear. Sin is an awful thing, because sin separates a man, woman, boy or girl from the blessings that God wants you to have. Is there any hope tonight? Is there any hope? Is there a way of escape? Is there a way back to God? Is there some way that I could come in to the blessing of God and salvation? Well, there is a way. Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. Ah, dear friend, tonight, listen. There was a man 2,000 years ago that hung upon a tree out there in Palestine. And on the center cross of Calvary, he died a death that no other could die. He died for sin. And if you in this meeting tonight would simply acknowledge that when he died there for you. And you in all your weakness and need, just put your faith and trust in him. Then all the blessings of God and salvation and many more besides can be yours tonight. Just through coming to know him. That's the reason for the death of Christ. Christ died for our sins. The reality of it, well, it was no swoon. And it was no fainting fit, says the word of God. And he was buried. You see, there's something final about that, isn't there? There's a kind of reality about that now. He was buried. Ah, but we praise God tonight it didn't end there. Because not only was there a reason, and not only was there the reality, but there was the response to the death of Christ. What was God's response to the death of Christ? And was raised again the third day according to the scriptures. And tonight in this meeting, we are not preaching a Christ that died and is still dead. No, far from it. We are preaching a Christ who died and was buried and was raised again the third day. And he sits in heaven tonight, glorified, exalted, waiting to be your Saviour, waiting to be your Lord, if you will only trust in him. The person of the gospel, the principles of the gospel, the death and burial and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. But when we come to Romans chapter number 1 again, and those verses that we read further down the chapter, the apostle not only speaks about the person of the gospel, and he not only speaks about the principles of the gospel, but he speaks about the power of the gospel. The power of the gospel. Says the apostle, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Aye, there is power in the gospel. I could take you to a man tonight in Hamilton. I could take you to a man who's now in Low Waters Assembly and Fellowship, and he will tell you about the night that he got saved when he sat in a gospel meeting just like this. And as he sat in the meeting just like this and the preacher preached to him, he thought in his mind, somebody has told the preacher all about me. Everything the preacher said was about him. Fact of the matter was, the preacher had never met him in his life. Never knew a thing about him. And that night in that meeting, he was convicted of his sin. He recognized his need as a sinner. He recognized that Christ was his only hope. And that night he trusted Christ as his Savior. What's that all about? Let me tell you what it's about. It's about the power of the gospel. It's about the power of the gospel. The Lord Jesus met a man one day in Mark chapter 5, and we know him as the man of Gadara, a wild man. And it says about him that he was demon-possessed. They couldn't tame him. They couldn't hold him. And when they bound him with fetters, he just broke them. There was nothing they could do with him. He was a madman. But after he had met the Saviour, and after the Saviour had dealt with him, this is what it says about the man of Gadara. He was sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. What made the difference? Let me tell you. The power of the gospel made the difference. The power of the gospel. And dear friend tonight, maybe you're fed up of that life of yours. Maybe you're sick of just being a slave to that vice that is in your life, whatever it might be. Maybe you're fed up of it and you're wanting a way out. You're looking for something to break the power of it in your life. And you're looking for something to transform your life and give you purpose and give you meaning and give you destiny in your life. I want to say to you, Paul was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it was the power of God unto salvation. And let me tell you, see, when the power of God works in a meeting, it'll no matter who the preacher is, and it'll no matter who is in the hall, if God takes a dealing with you tonight in the gospel, you will know something of that power, the power of the gospel. Dear friend, tonight, it is only that dynamic power in the gospel that can change your destiny for eternity and can change your life and time, give you new desires, give you a new outlook, give you new meaning in your life. Says Paul, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Paul, do you know anything about that power of the gospel? I says, Paul, listen, I know all about it, all right. It stopped me in my tracks one day in the Damascus Road. It brought me to my knees. It turned me around and changed me, not only for time, but for eternity. And that gospel that did that for Paul and has done the same for many a person since that can do that for you tonight in this meeting, if you will only believe. Mark chapter 1. Here's the appeal of the gospel. Here's the plea of the gospel. You see, it's one thing to hear. It's one thing to listen. But it's another thing to act upon the message. In 15 minutes' time, God willing, in Low Waters, Hamilton, the meeting will be drawing to a close. And if everything is just as normal, there will be a woman in the meeting tonight, as she is there every night, And she's been coming for about 4 years. She knows the gospel. She could tell you when it's been preached and when it hasn't been preached. She could tell you. And as she takes the speaker by the hand at the end of the meeting, if he's preached a good gospel, she'll say to him, "I enjoyed your words." The fact of the matter is, she's not saved. She's not saved. You see, the appeal of the gospel, the plea of the gospel, she has heard it in her soul night after night and week after week and month after month and year after year. She has never responded to the plea of the gospel. Be careful now. Be careful. There comes a stage in God's dealings with men when he pleads no more. Be very careful that tonight is not your last opportunity to trust the Saviour, to believe the gospel. We do thank you for your attention, and we do trust tonight that God will bless you in salvation by you putting your faith and trust in his Son. Shall we pray?